at the end of the article, you put this down to hostility toward welfare recipients. It appears almost a hostility towards single parents.
There's this kind of attitude towards single parents.
Where does it come from?
In one of the articles that I had in The Social Edge, I traced it to what I think is a psychological factor, which is that people need to project their forbidden sexual desires onto somebody else.
Right.
These single parents are an important target for this sort of thing. As I said, they're walking Rorschach tests. People look at them and project all of their negative feelings onto these unfortunate persons.
So the fact that they're unattached
and have children
almost makes them targets for a kind of stalking.
There must be something evil about such people who do things that I would like to do but don't dare. They're getting away with something that I can't do.
Okay. Be it having fun or having a family or whatever.
Having fun, having sex. And so that's what's happening.
Welcome to Disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge listeners who care about, or care for, or may themselves have become someone with a disability.
Back in late 2004, Disrespect welcomed Rule Amdur, a retired social worker from Valmont, Quebec. Well, some things change. We found out his name is Rule, and not Royal, as I call him throughout the interview. Some things don't. The McGuinty government had just given out a 3% welfare increase, the only one, in the next 2 years. And Rule has some comments on that that are just as applicable to the 2% increase today.
Royal, how are you?
Okay.
We're interested in the material that appeared in View and the Ontario welfare increases. First, I'm surprised that you would live in Quebec. Do you have an interest in the situation here?
Yeah, well, I'd lived just across the river from Ottawa.
Okay.
And I was a welfare supervisor while I lived here. And before that, I lived in Ontario for many years.
Oh, okay. You published in Straight Goods. I know you've published in View. Is there anywhere else you would like our listeners to be able to look for your work?
Pulse Niagara. I've also had a few things in The Social Edge.
Is that on the web? Or?
Yeah, it's a web zine.
All right. The article makes a number of interesting points that the first of which is that the net gain for people on fixed incomes is about 0.2%.
That's through 2003. Now, if we go into 2004, that's probably disappeared.
You mean it's a zero or less?
Probably by this point.
So it includes the McGuinty increase?
Yeah.
Okay. And it dates back to when? What period are you accounting for here in the 0.2%?
We're talking about the increase from 2002 to 2003.
Okay.
Which was an increase of minus 2.8%. So he increased 3% in 2004, which means it's a net increase of 0.2%.
In the 1 year.
As of 2003.
Right.
But the increase occurred in 2004. That 0.2% is probably wiped out by now.
Okay. And it looks like this is worse for single-parent families.
Single-parent families, if you have a single-parent family with one child,
right,
then in the 2002 to 2003, they lost 3.8%, so the 3% increase is really a loss of 0.8%.
Okay.
If you're dealing with a couple and two children, so that if they get 3% now, it's a loss of 0.8%. A couple and two children, it, between those 2 years, it's a loss of 4.4%. In every respect, people are worse off after the supposed 3% increase than they were before.
And you put this down to, at the end of the article, to a hostility toward welfare recipients. It appears almost a hostility towards single parents.
Oh, definitely. Single parents are walking Rorschach tests. There's a tendency to blame them for all kinds of things. Just think of Mike Harris's comment about pregnant, beer-swilling women. There's this kind of attitude towards single parents.
Where does it come from?
In one of the articles that I had in The Social Edge, I traced it to what I think is a psychological factor, which is that people need to project their forbidden sexual desires onto somebody else.
Right.
These single parents are an important target for this sort of thing. As I said, they're walking Rorschach tests. People look at them and project all of their negative feelings onto these unfortunate persons.
So the fact that they're unattached
and have children.
And have children almost makes them targets for a kind of stalking.
There must be something evil about such people who do things that I would like to do but don't dare. They're getting away with something that I can't do.
Okay. Be it having fun or having a family or whatever.
Having fun, having sex. And so that's what's happening.
I have a single parent associate who is affiliated with the show who would probably dispute the accusation that she's having too much fun. She has two kids, and it's a big commitment, but it's interesting that you would draw that out.
It's not a matter of she is in fact having fun.
No.
It's a matter of this is...
This the perception.
This is what is going on inside certain ids, such as that of Mike Harris.
Right. So it finds its way into welfare policy.
McGuinty's government, we're not seeing substantial changes in policy.
Right.
When you look at the increase of assistance of 3% across the board, that's after Harris cut 21.6% from the recipients of Ontario Works.
To make welfare unlivable.
Yeah, that is something that has not been reversed by McGuinty. When you add 3% across the board, that's really not the answer. The first thing you have to do is you have to put back the 21.6%, then you talk about how much you're going to increase everybody.
Well, and that opportunity was lost. People would say, why now, if you did it now? If it was fair before, why didn't you do it then?
That should have been the first order of business in terms of welfare reform, putting back the money that was taken away by Harris.
There are a lot of people who still believe that there's a lot of welfare fraud and that a lot of people on welfare are getting money unfairly and undeservedly.
I don't think that McGuinty is of that view. I do think that there are people in the Liberal caucus that are.
Oh. It's found its way into other aspects of fixed income administration. You've also mentioned the clawback.
The new increase is not clawed back, the increase that occurred in July.
Right.
But it's a relative small amount. The bulk of the thing is still clawed back. And the third is quite poor are being denied this benefit. And the question is, we're trying to help poor children. What kind of mad policy is this?
McGuinty's, his administration's notice that's gone out with the checks says that they're reconsidering this policy, but it doesn't promise any end to it. I read an article also in the recent copy of View about a meeting in the States prior to the Democratic National Convention in Boston where Tom Hayden spoke about gang warfare and how it's ruined the American inner city, and he makes an interesting statement there that this is a blatant example of what has happened with the eroding of a social fabric and should be seen as what could happen should Canada continue to decimate our social programs. Is this a realistic assessment of the impact of these ongoing, punitive, and increasingly devastating cuts?
I don't see the American example occurring here in the near future. I think that some of the kinds of things you're going to see are increasing homelessness. I've worked with the homeless at times.
Right.
And these were mainly people who were extremely dysfunctional.
Right.
They were people who had mental health problems, substance use problems, mental deficiency, sometimes more than one of these things. And I think what is happening is we're getting a much better grade of homelessness.
Okay, better people are becoming homeless.
Right.
We'll take a break here from our interview.